Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Mike Boddicker in studio. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
I enjoy watching Angel Hernandez behind the dish.
Do you wish you could have pitched with him behind the dish? Would you like that experience?
I don't know. Every umpire was different according to the person pitching. I mean, it was really weird. You know, a lot of people didn't like John Hirschbeck, and John Hirschbeck was great for me behind the plate. So, it varied.
I was asking Mike about umpires when he pitched, and he said his favorite was Durward Merrill. And I was wondering, oh, really? And then I see Durward Merrill was behind the plate in Game 2 of the 1983 ALCS when Mike Boddicker tied an LCS record with 14 strikeouts. Yeah, I'd like him, too.
Yeah, I like Durward.
How was the strike zone that day?
Big.
Yeah.
Big.
See? But consistent, that's all
consistent,
you want, right?
Consistent, yeah. He was pretty good.
Did the hitters share the same memory of that?
Well, Durward was from Hooks, Texas. And he used to say, you know, I remember when I first came up, it was, you know, I'd throw a ball right there in the corner and he'd ball, you know, it was like somebody like Carl Yastrzemski or somebody like that, Crew, right in the corner and they'd ball. And, you know, I'd never say anything. And then later on, he'd say, "You do realize that's a Hall of Famer. You got to catch more of the plate than a Hall of Famer." So okay, right?
Wow.
And then if maybe Nolan Ryan was pitching and the ball would be about half a foot off the plate, and he called a strike, that's a Hall of Fame pitch.
What does that even mean?
That means the guys in the Hall of Fame, you either better be swinging if he's a pitcher, or you better be grooving it if he's a hitter. That's the way Durward was.
Oh, I was Googling you and umpires, and then I found a story I haven't read about you.
Which one was that?
From Sports Collectors Digest.
Okay.
Did
you find it? The one I got chewed out?
No, because I stumbled upon this. I think I like this better.
Really?
From December 21st, 2007.
I wasn't pitching then.
But I like this. You're talking about your collection back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
His memorabilia collection includes a Mickey Mantle signed baseball bat, Muhammad Ali signed boxing gloves, and a signed basketball.
Not anymore.
Right.
Somebody else got that now.
Yeah, that's right! Look at Jake. Look at Jake's face.
What happened?
What happened?
You don't know what he gifted me?
Am I supposed to know? Did we talk about this?
Did we talk? We didn't.
No,
talk about
nobody's
that.
Talked about it. No,
I haven't talked about
well,
it.
Then how would
you
I know?
People to know? I don't know.
How the hell would I know something that hasn't been discussed?
Maybe Mike told
I gave
you
some Ali boxing gloves.
Oh Jesus!
That wasn't it.
No, it wasn't Jesus. It was Ali.
Oh, okay. And boxing clothes.
Yeah.
And did we say the other one?
Frazier.
Give me a Joe Frazier.
Jake's eyes got real big.
In the case, so now I put the Frazier and yeah, so it's a Frazier. And I
nice
love.
Fighting together. Yeah. Nice.
Do you good. Think I like that at all? if I told you that I left teary eyed, would that surprise you?
I'm just happy you enjoy them.
Oh, I look at it every day and just,
good for you. You. It's sat down there and collected dust for me.
But I like this article that says. You had a signed basketball from the original Olympic Dream Team.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, Bird, Barkley, everyone on it. Right?
Oh, I've seen that. Corey has that now, doesn't
you
he?
Had
it's
the,
Corey's.
Yeah. This is awesome. I didn't know you had this. A signed Sports Illustrated by your all-time hero, Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, I have that.
And two autographs from Babe Ruth.
I gave those away, too.
But here's
one was on a letter, right?
Yeah, it was on a 3x5 card, dated. Yeah, and a picture. Yeah,
I remember seeing that.
And a ball.
Yeah.
But you were. It says you were chasing an autograph here. They were talking about what he wants for his collection. That he
was it Stooges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shemp.
It says Boddicker has autographs from Mo, Larry, Curly, Curly Joe, and Joe.
Don't have Shemp,
but not Shemp. And so you were in search of an autograph from
Yeah. I still have those. Yeah.
So how did you get those? Just like.
I love the Stooges. I can't help it.
I don't know.
Did
you meet them?
Well, no. I went in search of. I had to give up some memorabilia to get those.
Right. So. That's what I mean. Yeah. So there's like some trading going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know how. Like, how would you?
How can you not like the Stooges? It's like Benny Hill. You guys are playing Benny Hill, Stooges. And a big smile came to my face. I love Benny Hill.
Stooges, like with my dad.
When I was
like real little, right?
So you want the Stooges autograph?
No.
Never mind.
I mean, I don't.
What I would watch, like, best memories of my day, like watching the Three Stooges, watching Andy Griffith, watching Benny Hill, but then, I'd watch the Rockford Files with him all the time for some reason. Mm. He liked Angel and Rockford Files. you guys ever watch the Rockford Files?
One of the best.
I still get fired up when I hear the TV theme, theme song from Rockford Files. See if you got that in the system.
My old man used to Dragnet and Hill Street Blues.
Oh, I love Hill Street. That's a great theme.
Yeah. I remember those coming on TV.
The star of Hill Street Blues was Daniel J. Travanti.
My old man, the Stooges, like he would have VHS and we'd just sit there all day long watching the Stooges.
But I remember there was, for somehow, some way, like there was a time when back to back, because different genres, obviously, but we watched the Stooges. But then we'd watch the Untouchables with Robert Stack.
Oh, yeah, Stack. Yeah, right? Robert Stack.
And that was fantastic.
Yep.
So you never got Shemp. Are you still chasing Shemp?
I'm trying. I'm going to get rid of the Stooges. But I mean, I got to get rid of stuff, yeah.
You don't want to get, like, you don't want to get Shemp?
Complete it and then get rid of it? No.
Who was your favorite of the Stooges that you
had? Oh, Curly, by far.
This is Jim Rockford at the tone. Leave your name and message.
Great theme song right here.
You're full of bullshit, my friend.
No. Why would you? That doesn't seem like that's the theme.
Was that part?
That was part of it,
What's going on here? There we go.
Here it is.
No, it was. That's right.
That was right. Oh, you can't get something just drive around town.
It's definitely part of the theme.
How come someone didn't sample this? Hey. I mean, you gotta listen.
Beat a good harmonica.
Every old dad everywhere was like, yeah, that's right.
Talking my era.
Are you worried about the Royals right now?
No.
They're still 16-12.
Yeah. Yeah. Were they the last team to actually lose three games in a row? Out of all of baseball, I think.
Is that right?
I think so. They hadn't lost three games in a row all year.
I'm going to revisit something that really captured the imagination of the listeners yesterday. And that was Nate trying to decide, it's not an easy question, but trying to decide whether or not this team would be better with Mondesi back on it. Right? And you struggle with that. It was difficult.
Polarizing for me. It was back and forth. We still don't know where he stands completely on it.
Well, I do stand on.
Is he ever going to come back this year? That's the question.
One thing that I stand on is that if he does come back, you don't have to worry about it.
Might not have to worry about it if he never comes back. You sure?
Yes.
You don't know that.
The Royals put a video yesterday of him in the cage yesterday. So he's swinging.
Yeah, he'll be back. Whether he stays and how long he stays, that's a whole different story.
Much like Frank Bohl in Leawood, he's swinging. So.
Ooh. Right? Nice.
I don't know what to do.
I had lunch with old man Bull last week.
He's not in Leawood right now.
What was the rule you said at that place you were at?
The candle off.
Candle off.
Did you know that out here? I mean, you're in Overland Park. Did you know that? Nate told me about this. I never knew about this. Just
about what?
And I'm going
to
tell you is it's real funny that Nate's got all the information on this. Just like, you know, like, what are you talking about? He said there's a restaurant and bar here is in Overland Park.
I don't know if it's technically Leawood or Overland Park.
Out here, right?
South.
That if you sit at the table, right, and they've got candles, you turn on and off.
Yeah, or those little
battery candles.
And so if you have it on, what's that mean?
I think it just means
nothing.
It means I'm having dinner.
But what if the candle's off?
That means you're open for business, from what I understand.
That means.
How did that work for you, Nate?
But he's
I've never tried it.
How did you find
He turned the candle off and nobody showed up.
He sat there like, why do all these people keep coming up to me? Someone said, turn the candle off. So who told you?
The waitress there, the bartender.
She just offered that up?
No, my friend asked her because he didn't believe me that kind of thing goes on out here.
So your buddy was, so you told him that stuff goes on?
Yeah, because he was, you know, he lives in Vegas. And I was telling him, you know, you'd be...
You're telling him about stuff that goes on, and he lives in Vegas?
Right. Yeah, that's why I said...
He should tell you.
That's why he didn't believe Nate. Right.
He was about what a nice, quiet area it is in Johnson County. I said, you know, there's some stuff that goes on here that kind of surprise you. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, there's... This is a pretty vibrant swingers community, from what I understand. You know,
Doesn't he have a lot of info on this?
I mean, really a lot, more than
Like an expert guest. Uh-huh. So here we have Nate.
He's a regular.
You got to pay attention to what's going on around you. You know, there's a whole world that's going on around you that you might not even realize.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Buchanan.
Now I know. Yeah. Now I know.
I'm pretty sure you know a lot more than I do.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you didn't tell me about the pineapple.
I'll tell you why. That's what I heard.
I live over
pineapple on the porch.
Here and I had no idea.
Yeah, sure, right. Bodica. That's what they all say.
He walks around with an electric candle in his pocket. Where's it off? Oh. So, I saw a tweet. Basically, because we were talking about...
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, right. I know. You're on Twitter. About Mondesi. Royals Review, which is an excellent follow, especially if you're a Royals fan, tweeted, and this was after the Nicky Lopez play, missing Mondesi's glove out there. His bat can be frustrating, but the man can pick it. And you kind of touched on this earlier. So after seeing that, did that make you change your opinion at all, thinking... Oh man, if Mondesi would have been out there, then he makes that play and then things go differently here.
I mean, I thought about it a little bit. I don't know how many times out of 10 Mondesi makes that play over Nicky Lopez. I'm guessing a few more times if he's on the field. I mean, that's a big if right there.
We've seen Mondesi miss that pick before.
Yeah,
I mean, that's.
So you didn't think that? You didn't think, that was Mondesi.
No, here's the issue, Steven.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Here's the issue. You got a 3-0 lead. You don't try to backhand pick a slow chopper. You circle it, come up, and if it comes up on you, he had time to get around it a little bit. If it comes up and hits you, it's one run. He swings and misses, two runs.
Yeah.
That's the issue. It's not him missing it. Everybody makes errors. But the approach was wrong. Mm-hmm. That was my issue with it. I'm sitting there going, get around it. He olayed it. He just swiped at it. And I'm sitting there going, as a pitcher standing on the hill, I'd have been mad. That's too, you know, hey, bad hops happen, errors happen. But do it right. Get around the ball. If it comes up, hits you, it's one run. And you got a chance for a double play.
Yeah.
You still have a chance.
Yeah.
So you don't let the extra run in. 3-2 is a big difference between 3-1.
And I guess the reason that stood out to me is because, you know, my argument for...
Does Mondesi get around that, though? Does he do it, or does he try to pick it, too?
I think he tries to pick it, too.
I do, too, and that's...
But I guess my point there is that the reason that I would take Lopez personally over Mondesi is because I feel like Lopez is the one that does all the right little things.
Okay, now, so you're just saying...
That's the play he's supposed to make the
Yeah, do it
not,
right.
Not
do it
flashy,
right. Exactly.
But do the right thing.
So straight up, you'd rather have Lopez in the lineup and on the field than Mondesi as a player? I mean, because
you just said that.
The half of me that feels that way, it's because feel like I can count on him to do the right
lower
thing.
Lower half.
And to be on the field.
Now see, the half you're not you. Who would you rather have be the Royal shortstop, Nicky Lopez
really
or Mondesi?
It's really hard for me to say. I think Nicky Lopez. But I feel like...
So you don't want Mondesi back.
Man.
I told you I want him. I'm going to put him in the outfield.
I do think Mondesi has a little bit better glove and a stronger arm.
Okay, so this guy said what?
But he's hurt all the time.
Would you? Who would?
I'd rather, to be honest with you, I think I'd rather have Nicky Lopez at the plate.
Is a hitter?
Yeah. You don't have these big sweeps, ups and downs. It's a little bit more consistent.
This guy looks...
Do we need an offensive punch
Yeah.
with this lineup?
Yes.
No, not if you're hitting on all cylinders. You shouldn't.
I feel like that.
I'm so baffled. I'm having an Angel Hernandez moment. Leave me alone.
I'm confused.
I go, yes. No.
No, you don't know.
No, let's. People that can't see it, Jake has been rubbing his face. It looks like in agony since his conversation.
He's trying to find his beard.
No, both of these gentlemen.
That's confusing.
Have said that they would have Nicky Lopez as the shortstop on the scene, then Mondesi, and it looks like that is making you constipated.
Well, I think they both are skewed because of his injuries, and I get it. You should, like, you're allowed to be. You get that opinion, but I think you're letting that affect the actual player. Like, when he's available, the guy's, like...
Potentially. You're going to say potentially. Those 3 week slides where he doesn't even look like he should be in AAA.
But he's only had a thousand. How many played? Less than
1,100.
1,100. I mean, there could be a reality where the dude's really unlucky. I'm not making excuses for him, but I'm saying, like, I want to give him the opportunity to fulfill that potential.
And how many years have he been here?
It's irrelevant to this point.
Really?
It is.
I don't think so.
All you have is today, Mike. It's all you got.
Oh, you spent too much damn time in the mountains. So.
Well, you know what Nicky Lopez's ceiling is.
You know, but you know, to that point, you know, it was like it's a fact. So I don't know why it was mind blowing. Yesterday, I was having some fun after they brought back Escobar,
right?
And so I tweeted out, you know, bring back Nori Aoki.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said trade for Cueto again. It's the only way. And he's going to be available, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe the Giants will fall out of a transfer. And so I started posting pictures of Cueto from his Instagram, and there's a picture of him. He's in the dugout, and Mondesi's standing behind him.
Yeah, right.
I was like, that was 2015. And like Mondesi's like, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he got her right after the picture. I'm pretty sure.
That's not.
No. I don't like
it. No, stop.
You know, bad.
Bad, Steven.
Bad.
But
you're being encouraged.
Like, you're asking how... But you remember,
he's been here for a long time.
Who the hell is that?
It's not like he's got one year in. That tells you something. He's been here this long, and he's only got 1,000 at-bats? That's...
Now, go back to your defense.
And then here's what I'm saying. Like, if he gets hurt, then okay. I'm ready to write him off. But, like...
So if he gets hurt
again,
no, I meant so one more. You're done.
Yes, but look, Nicky Lopez has a ceiling, and we've seen it. That's where I mean,
it's like, a shorter ceiling.
It's a way shorter ceiling.
Well, that's what makes.
But he's on the field.
That's what makes this such a difficult question. I think the floor is so much higher for Nicky Lopez, and the ceiling is lower.
His head's hitting the ceiling.
But Nicky Lopez is on the field.
Yeah, making errors, costing this team ball games.
I've seen Mondesi make errors.
I mean, he's also getting on base.
But did that not happen last night?
I mean...
Yeah, but Mondesi would have did the same exact
thing. You don't know that?
Yeah, he would approach it the same way.
Okay, do you think Mondesi makes that play?
Yes, Jake. I do.
You're entitled to that opinion.
I've seen him make similar plays.
Well, I've seen Lopez make that play.
Well, when you saw that,
I know he didn't last night. That's part of baseball.
Modesty's out there. He makes a play. That was your reaction? Because you're not the only one. Rose Review tweeted that.
No, I tell you what.
You hit ground balls to those guys at shortstop. Same thing. They'd probably pick 80% of them. Both of them.
Go to the numbers. I'm going to ask you the same thing
that I asked Nate. Do the Royals' chances to make the postseason increase or decrease with Mondesi on the team?
Depends on which Mondesi shows up.
The good one.
Well, you're hoping the good one. You don't get that.
Yeah, you don't know. He's not even out there. How do you know?
How do you know if you don't let him get out there? I mean, that...
He could play a month,
but like it doesn't
sure
to be.
The team was God, willing I'm to
root
let him
my,
get out.
I'm going
to
root my ass
but
off
like,
of
so,
this kid
but,
now.
But the way you look at it, like offensively, and why I said that they,
yeah,
but,
offensively, like, if the good Mondesi shows up, it's by just night and day.
But if he comes back now, the bats he'd be taking, Ryan O'Hearn or
right.
Hanser Alberto, and that
when has he had this kind of protection in the lineup?
I'd rather see him than those guys. And you don't have to. So you'd be putting Nicky.
When did he have that kind of protection?
At second base, Mondesi at short, and then Witt's in the outfield. So you wouldn't be losing Nicky Lopez. You'd just be moving. You'd be moving two guys to make room for Mondesi again, and then you're not having to, because every night in the lineup there's O'Hearn or Alberto, and I like Alberto off the bench. I like O'Hearn off the bench. I don't like one of the guys always in the lineup. So that he would improve the lineup, but I'm listening about the shortstop thing, because I think that's interesting. Or if you think that you'd just rather take your chances with that. I mean, he's going to come back at some point.
Well, Mondesi's a step above at shortstop. He's a step above. Because of footwork, I think, as far as quickness.
Arm, you mentioned.
Arm, yeah, stronger.
Yeah.
He's a good shortstop. He is a good shortstop. There's no doubt
about
it.
He's a good shortstop. Nicky Lopez is very average.
But that's not his primary position. He's an excellent second baseman.
And so you're moving him to a position that he's going to be better at. So you're improving your defense there.
And you're moving Witt.
And Witt can play anywhere. Witt's a stud.
Nate?
Yeah, no, I think that's all true.
It would improve our defense, I think.
But there's a reluctance from everyone.
It's just
here about
that
this.
He's just, you know, in my mind, all I see is I can remember a game. He was going through one of those 3-week periods where he was swinging at everything. I mean, if a 50-foot curveball, he's swinging, and he strikes out, and I see his head drop, and he's just shaking it, walking back to the dugout. And the next at bat, he did the same thing, and he's just shaking his head. I'm sorry, as a teammate, I have a tough time with that.
So, am I wrong to say you would rather have Nicky Lopez as a teammate versus Mondesi, even though Mondesi has?
I don't know. I'm not in the clubhouse.
From what you see,
what I see, yeah.
But also, those are last place ball teams that he's playing on.
Yeah, but he wears that. He was part of those teams,
right? But what I'm saying he's coming into a clubhouse where they're in first place. I mean, I think he's...
But doesn't adversity reveal true character?
Yes.
Most of the time.
Man, you answer that so fast.
Well, most of the time.
I mean, honestly...
And can't people change?
Yeah.
You did.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So deeper than I thought it would be, but I'm enjoying it.
Of course they can change. People can grow up. People can mature.
Now, I prepared for Angel Hernandez, and all we've got is...
Oh, we'll get to his ass next.
I would personally say that starting the season with a mysterious injury that nobody saw on the field does not, like, make you encouraged to think, oh, yeah, he's a different guy now.
All of a sudden, he's a gamer.
Yeah, I mean, no, and that's like... That
I was so
to,
confused that day because we had this debate with you, like, the whole debate was whether he should be getting third in the lineup.
Yeah.
And then
when Nicky was sent down, we're going, when he comes back, if he gets another chance to come back, he's got to produce.
Like, on our text chain, the first thing I looked at, someone said something, so I go, well, Mondesi's hurt again. I go, there wasn't a game. What are you talking about? How?
And Matheny even said, he's like, I'm usually pretty good at spotting that stuff, but we didn't see anything. And the thing is, look, maybe it's just bad luck. It's very possible. But I think it's appropriate. Last night,
that's
what
Angel Hernandez. He's just got bad luck.
No, he's guessing wrong.
Maybe he can change.
No, he's not going to change.
I think it was appropriate that I was talking to my son last night about Alcides Escobar and what he meant to the Kansas City Royals. Because
they're every day.
Because I told him, I said, you know, I think a lot of Royals fans that are not buried in the stats love and revere Alcides Escobar.
I love it. I love Escobar.
And his teammates love and revere
him. I love Escobar.
I'm glad you just said that because I think of him fondly, and I just like, I don't know, like this, when people like to crush Hosmer and like to crush Escobar and like to crush the guys who are part of that team, and I'm like, you a-holes, did you not watch them help lead this team to back-to-back World Series and win a championship? Do you have any... at least gratitude or appreciation for that?
If you could watch those teams do what they did here in town on a daily basis and think it's
a-holes.
All about the stats or all about your physical ability, I can't help you. Because
that's why I hate all that crap. The sabermetrics and all that. If this guy's here and this guy's here, it doesn't show character. It doesn't show the personal side of... You mentioned earlier... You know, this probably wasn't the best baseball team to win it. You know, that we weren't the most talented. That's how we were in 83. We weren't the most talented. We had Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken. We weren't the most talented. We had a nice pitching staff.
They had you.
No, I was yeah. I was low on the totem pole.
Real good,
but we blended perfect. We enjoy. We love being together. We love playing the game.
We
love talking baseball.
There are things numbers can't mention.
Exactly.
I go back to what I said. There's four components to being.
Like you have to get one of your members of your pitching staff out of a party at 3 a.m. the night before he's.
That was Boston.
Okay. But I mean, there's like things you don't like.
Yeah, things you have to do, yes.
Like that guy was out until 3, you know, whatever. Go ahead. Say the four things that you stole from Peter.
There's four components to a player. There's the physical, the mental, the technical, and the tactical.
Attribute it.
And that's from Peter Vermees. It's true, though. And in baseball, I was talking to my son about this in baseball.
All sports.
Physically, yeah, can you hit the ball hard? Modesty can hit the ball harder than Nicky Lopez can.
Exit velocity.
He can throw the ball farther than Nicky Lopez can. And that is a part of it. Okay, that is a part of it. But mentally, does he want to be out there so bad that he will do anything to stay on the field? When he gets cleated by somebody and messes his ankle up badly like Alcides Escobar did, is he out there the very next day playing the game because he loves it with all his heart? Tactically, how's this guy trying to get me out right now? What's my approach at the plate? That's one that Nicky Lopez is miles ahead of Adalberto Mondesi. You know, Mondesi, you talk about it, like he looks up there like tactically he has no clue what's happening at the plate
but
sometimes.
But he's got God get blessed him with
right.
all this
physically,
talent.
So physically.
Do you want him back or not?
But part of the physical is also the ability to stay on the field, right? That's part of physical, too. Can your body hold up to it? You know, and some of that's mental. There's a blend there between the mental and the physical. Do you want to be out there bad enough? Can your body stand up to it long enough? You know, it's a little bit, but it's all those things. And so to me, like, I do think that a lot of times when, you know, and I think scouts try to evaluate that. What's the mental makeup of the guy? What's his tactical awareness? Is he a dope as a base runner? Does he have an approach at the plate? Does you know things like that? Those all compose what a player is.
Scouts look at two things: velocity as a pitcher, and bat speed.
The bad scouts.
No, they all do the same thing.
No, that's not true. That's not true. But I talked to guys with the Royals, and they told me about like when Hosmer's coming up. They said, "Look, our best guy needs to be our best guy." And Hosmer's the kind of guy that can lead. They talked about Salvi and how much he loved
Sal?
The game and everything.
Best guy.
Those scouts knew what those guys were
I've
about.
Seen the top Royal scouts come out and do a personal evaluation, brought two kids in. They couldn't throw the ball or hit the ball past the pitcher's mound, but they could run a 4.240. Oh, we're going to sign this guy.
How long ago was this? Like a long time ago? Or?
8 years, maybe. I'm sitting there going, seriously? Are you seeing any of this? Are you watching the same stuff? I'm going, oh my gosh.
Here's the way I look at it, because I usually don't answer until last or don't answer at all. I'll answer first. I think the team would be better with Mondesi because, like last night, looking at the lineup, if you put him at short, Nicky Lopez at second, and then Merrifield's in the outfield and Dozier back at third base and Alberto on the bench, that's a better lineup.
That's a better lineup.
Mondesi
is better
than Alberto because that's who he'd be replacing.
Yep.
And then he may not make the play, but wouldn't you agree the defense would be better with Mondesi at short and Lopez at second?
Well, I don't know if we have to break, Jake. I'm sure we do.
We don't take breaks on this show.
Okay.
We do what we like.
But you have a better chance of getting an out there with Mondesi with his arm strength, because the ball wasn't hit that hard. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you have to look at the tools, too, and say, hey, you know, what do you picked it? I don't know.
But like Marty Schottenheimer used to say.
You got to get around that ball. And with his arm strength, he has a chance to throw the guy at first.
You can't make the club in the tub.
Yeah, that's true.
And so,
best ability is availability.
So we talk about this, but he, you know...
Nate, hey,
play.
Jake says he's coming back.
Are you all?
I'm waiting.
Are you all in on him because you believe
the place that I am?
Or are you all in on him because it's against what Nate and Mike are saying?
Yes, and I hate that.
We want you out there on that limb.
I don't feel this.
I've
strong,
been as critical as anyone.
I feel crazy because they're so anti. I feel like I have to go.
No, I admit that the lineup's better with him.
Like when people brought up the top five shortstop, I thought, what are you talking about? But then what Merrifield says, MVP candidate, I think, what is he talking about? But it's what Merrifield.
Right.
But they've all been saying, like, they've been saying that for 5 years.
It's not just 6 years.
This might surprise you, but I do value Nate's baseball mind.
So do I,
mind.
But it's so, but quite I go, but I go, wow.
Same with this gentleman over here to my left.
But everybody has their opinions. That's the whole thing. How do you feel about it?
You guys are so strong on the opposite side that makes me feel crazy that I'm even like, yeah, this team's better.
But for Nate, I've been called an idiot many times, so don't worry about it.
For Nate to say that, for Merrifield to say that, and for all those guys to say that, there has to be something there, and we have seen something there.
The potential is incredible.
But the downside is incredible, too.
I would love to see that potential surface.
That's why I'm having such a tough time answering the question.
It's like, for a guy with that much talent, he can be so bad, he looks like he doesn't belong on a baseball diamond.
Not even Triple A.
And then he gets hurt all the time. So for the people that do believe there's something there, he makes it almost impossible to defend him.
It's like that carrot that's in front of that horse, and he just keeps going after it. You know, man, look at that beautiful carrot. Can't get through.
So that's why I'm like, I'm gonna give him one more chance.
Just one more chance.
One last one.
That's like such a dangerous, like one more injury. Like that, the chances of that are so high right now. There. We settled it. Now we've settled nothing.
We need to go to break, right?
We do.
And I still have no idea what Nate wants.
Huh?
I just don't know what you want.
He wants Sporting to win.
I want
Angel
Hernandez.
Do you want Mondesi to be an outfielder? Is that what?
Yeah, I'd put him in outfield.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's great. He can run into walls then. Holy crap.
And back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, with Jake Gutierrez and also Mike Boddicker. What did you think of the debut of Daniel Lynch?
Mixed reviews.
What'd you like about him?
Kids got possibly. He got stuff. He's got a lot to learn yet, but he's got stuff.
Do you want to see him learn all that here? Is he here? Would you like for him to be here to stay? Or
I was a little shocked at the move, to be honest with you, but anytime you get a young pitcher up, I like it. You know, I've said that 100 times. It's just, you see what he's got. You don't know. I mean, you can do great in AAA. And get
he
here.
Didn't even get a chance to do that.
Yeah,
they
really.
Just started AAA yesterday.
Yeah, just started yesterday.
Good point. Did you see what Jackson Coard did last night in AAA?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, read you the line.
Yes,
please.
I heard the line. Go ahead. Go ahead.
5 1/3 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. In his AAA debut last night.
How many walks?
Two.
9 strikeouts?
Yeah. 2 hits, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts, no runs, 5 1/3. Does that satisfy you at all or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then again, that's AAA.
But you also said that was your guy.
That is my guy.
Between Lynch, Singer, and Coar. You like Coar the best?
Coar's the best to me. I mean, I just watch fundamentals, action of the ball. The ability... What I see when his delivery is he could eventually get to that point where he could really locate, because it's very simple, very compact, very easy delivery. So, and if you look at Minor last night, why was he successful through 5 innings? The only time he threw a ball down that caught any plate at all was a guy who was taking first pitch, and they know that. Okay, this guy's taking first pitch. Boom, right down the chute. But everything else was on an edge, upper edge, lower edge, ins, out. He never threw a ball that caught hardly any of the plate. That's hard to hit. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was successful through 5.
Then what happened? Why?
I don't know. He got frustrated. He walked a guy and got really frustrated. And the cow came out.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Ryan called it a body language visit.
Yeah, it was a body.
Did you see
how frustrated he got because he walked a guy? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And man, Cal jumped out there. He knew. You could see it. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes will push you right out of your comfort zone, your groove. You know, you do something stupid. That's why that's why closers are amazing. They can forget and just go. You know, sometimes it's harder for a starter.
Well, speaking of that, Jake Junis gets sent to the bullpen and then struggles.
Yeah.
What did you think of the move, the decision to put him in the bullpen, and do you think Is that why he struggled? Because all of a sudden,
I think he was. I think he was a little hurt that because he's thrown pretty darn good this.
Really well.
Yeah, since he's been in the starting rotation. I don't understand that. I really didn't.
What move would you have made?
Did they need a starting pitcher right there?
No, they needed bullpen help is really what they needed.
Okay.
That's what they said.
They thought they would throw him out there, and even though as well as he's pitched.
Because that's what their idea was at the beginning of the year, was to have him in the bullpen.
Well, he shouldn't use that bullpen so much.
But Keller.
I don't know. I'm gonna play Nate. Say I don't know. I don't know.
Well, today should be.
It should be a great pitching matchup, but we've got a certain gentleman behind the dish that could change all that. We'll see.
Shane Bieber and Brady Singer's an outstanding pitching
matchup. That's
a good matchup. Angel Hernandez is not an outstanding umpire on paper or in person.
I mean, you kind of want to watch, you know, because it's like...
I'd want to watch. It's just... you would hate to see a great pitching matchup go by the wayside because of an umpire.
Were you watching the game when this mysterious play happened?
Yeah.
So then what were you thinking when it happened? Like, did you know what the hell was going on?
I've seen it a couple times before where the umpires miss it, and then they have to move runners. They have to get together and make a decision. Would he have scored? Would he have not have scored? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and Angel said, yeah, well, we got it right. No, you didn't get it right after the fact that you move runners where they were supposed to, but you missed the play. So, no, you didn't get it right. I was telling you, there was a couple Angel stories that there was.
Let's hear it.
Well, one of them was I remember, and I can't remember if it was Ellis Burks or whatever. I remember I was down in Arizona, and Angel was umpiring, and we were sitting together, and I can remember. I can't remember who it was, if it was Ellis or not, but Angel had screwed up like three plays in spring training, just. Totally blew the calls and just terrible. And I can remember, I think it was Ellis. He leans over, he goes, that's good to see Angel Hernandez is in midseason form.
So Terry Francona, when he was asked what he was telling Angel Hernandez after that happened, Francona said, I just kind of told Angel, why is it always happening when you're here?
Pretty much, it's
aggravating. We knew it wasn't a catch. Everybody, I think, knew but Angel. And so for people that didn't hear it earlier, when the pool reporter, Alec Lewis, asked Angel Hernandez, the crew chief Angel Hernandez, about the play in the third inning, this is what his answer was. And you can just comment as I go along if you think it's accurate. Our goal was to get the play right, and that's exactly what we did.
I love that. That's like the cockiness of that, you know, in the face of just a complete buffoonery is just awesome.
We pulled it off.
The thing is,
nailed it.
He's the crew chief. Right. He's the crew chief.
We got it.
Nailed it.
And so this is what he says. We talk about this. Replay is an extension of what we do out there. As you saw, I got basically blinded by the outfield scoreboard. The pixels on the lights were as clear as white can be. I was trying to make out what happened out there. The harder I looked, the less I could see. So I was trying to read the players to see what they did with the ball. And I had to come out with the call. I basically guessed on the wrong call. So as soon as I turned around, Edwin, the home plate umpire, started walking towards me. We got the crew together and we fixed the problem.
Edwin, who's 100 feet farther away from the play than he is, was able to figure out that the Edwin guy didn't.
Well, at the angle of the pixels.
The clear as white can be.
Yeah.
And clear is not white, by the
white
way.
Is not clear.
What do you think of that? Do you think that's a legitimate excuse?
No.
He's dead.
No. The thing is, if you watched him run out.
It's the pixels, Mike.
And I'm watching him run out. Mm-hmm. And he starts up with his right hand, and he drops it. And he starts up with his right hand, and he kind of. It's like he wants to call it out, but he, I don't know. And then he must yell, he's out or whatever. I don't know. It was just typical Angel.
It was, and the thing is, like, they were like, well, the right fielder picked it up pretty quickly, so maybe it's hard to tell.
He wasn't the one trying to catch the ball.
Thank you.
It's not that tough.
I mean, that's one
it's
where
not that
to
tough.
Read.
Apparently, it is.
No, it's not. If you look to see who was going to catch the ball, you're not following the ball the whole way. You're following the guys. Why are you looking at the ball through the pixels?
The guy who's throwing it into the infield is not the
not
guy
the
who
guy
tried
was
to
trying
catch
it.
That should tell you right there.
Unless there was a quick handoff. No.
Here's the other questions he was asked. So you signaled for an out call as if the outfielder had caught the ball? Correct. Can you walk us through the responsibility of an umpire in your spot on the play, just broadly? Exactly what I did is my responsibility. As the inner,
hey,
this guy's
I gotta
great.
Do it right.
Oh my god, it's like a character from a sitcom. Oh, I nailed it.
Exactly what I did is my responsibility as the interim crew chief here. We've talked about this, and it played out exactly how we rehearsed it when I joined the crew the other day. So then Alec Lewis asks, when you guys conferred, how easy of a decision was it to allow Benintendi to go up to go to third base and Salvi to stay at first? On what the guys had, Benintendi was in between second and third. He didn't know whether to go back to tag up because, from what I heard from all the players, they also lost the ball in the same background I had. So he's saying everyone else lost the ball, just like him. They were all confused, as well as Rusty Koontz. He's bringing Rusty Koontz into this damn thing.
They were all confused because you called him out.
That's the thing. If Benintendi's halfway, and he sees, turns and sees that Naylor picks up the ball, he's scoring anyway.
Yep.
He's scoring easy, and they stuck him at third base. He should have been allowed home plate.
He said none of these players saw. They all got.
It doesn't matter. It's
pixels.
Not their fault. But here, it's his fault.
He said, so everybody basically saw what happened. And the Indians could have gone ahead and gone with a challenge, but their replay coordinator must have agreed with exactly what we do.
What a jackass!
One more. So then Alex Lewis says, can you walk me through the decision of the aftermath of the conference between the umpires? He responded to my out call. That's what got him hung up. When we got together, that's what we pieced together. He was between second and third. That's why we decided to put him at third base. He wasn't going to advance any further than third base.
Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah, he was.
If he doesn't call and make the out call, he scores.
Are you listening to what Angel Hernandez said?
I know.
He wasn't going to advance any further than third base. And the batter runner, of course, we decided as a crew that he was going to go no further than first base. And obviously, we scored the run. Final question. What was the conversation like with Terry Francona afterward? Angel Hernandez said, I basically told him the same thing I told you. Although Terry Francona confirms that he told Angel Hernandez, why does this always happen when you're here?
What do you mean? What do you mean? What does this always happen? I get everything.
Maybe
right?
It happens when you're here.
You mean how we nail all the calls and get everything right like we just did?
Now how do you feel? Now after Angel Hernandez has explained everything to you, Mike, do you get it finally?
I still think he's worst umpire in baseball.
Well, here's,
he said he wasn't scoring.
You know how bad he screwed
up? No, trust me. Salvi could have scored from second base there.
That's saying something.
Salvi would have scored from second. If he doesn't make the out call and Salvi is halfway, turns and looks, and that ball bounces, there's no way they're throwing him out.
Angel Hernandez says
he somehow screwed the call up bad enough that both sides had a gripe.
Yes.
Because Francona's
and you
gripe,
never see that.
Yeah.
Ever.
Right? But Francona's gripe was, you just awarded third base to a guy who was not trying to advance to third base.
Right. And Terry was right. Tito was right.
Like, how often does that happen in baseball? Well, the guy's not even trying to get to that base. We're going to give it to him anyways because he should have tried to get there, but I blew the call so bad that it confused him. So they awarded a base to a guy who wasn't trying to get there. But in the same time,
then why isn't Salvi at second?
And they actually denied him the chance to score because they screwed up the call on the field. So in other words, job well done by Angel Hernandez in his own mind. They got it exactly right.
So where was Salvi at that point? Was he halfway?
He was just at first, standing there.
Standing at first.
But you guys agree that the biggest problem right now with the Royals, it's the pixels.
clear as white can be.
Yeah.
If they had the old Crown scoreboard, we wouldn't have had this issue.
I used to like all the animations. <up there. laughs> Mike?
Yes?
You want to stay and talk to Gary?
Yeah, sure. Right. Why not?
Gary, by the way, Gary agrees with Angel Hernandez on everything he says. So we'll find out exactly what that means from Gary on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Gary Lezak. Gary, say hello to Mike Boddicker.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
You seem to be in a good mood. You seem to be in a really good mood. I heard your last segment. You just seem to be really, really in a good mood today.
I am. I'm sitting here with three of my buddies enjoying a little conversation and
reminiscing about Angel Hernandez.
Yeah. We had a good laugh. We had some good laughs this morning. So, yes. It's been a good morning.
Incredible. Well, hey, it's great because, you know, it's all about right now. We're just enjoying now. You guys are doing that.
That's what Jake said about Mondesi. It's all about right now.
That's right. I think Mondesi and Bobby Witt Jr. coming up would be great. Oh. I got a question for you. Is it off limits to say Holland and maybe, you know...
Wade Davis?
Wade. They don't need to be, like, primary pitchers for us?
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, that's all personal feeling.
I mean, look, when he was the starting quarterback, you tried to run Alex Smith out of town, so to the point where
I did not.
His wife was very angry, so I feel like you say, why are you asking now if you can say what you want?
I liked Alex Smith all along. He was my quarterback.
That wasn't Grunhart?
What did she say to you, though?
She was mad.
Right. What did she say? Can you tell us? Because I don't remember.
I can't remember. I mean,
I think you can remember.
I think it was something about Patrick Mahomes should be starting, which I think when you look at it, he probably
was it a martini moment?
But my point is, Gary has never been afraid to go after the big celebrities and athletes in town.
You know what? And that's why he gets on me about my Farmer's Almanac.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, he's not afraid.
Go ahead, Gary.
What Elizabeth Smith got mad at me about is because Nick Foles came into the game and the ball went in the air and I saw the ball in the air and I hadn't seen a ball in the air.
Right. It wasn't really about Mahomes, it was about Nick Foles.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not kidding you. I watched the play.
Even better. Nick Foles should have been starting.
Nick Foles went back to throw the ball and it was like, wow, that's... Look at that ball in the air. I'd never seen Alex Smith throw the ball.
Come on
like
now.
That.
Now attack some of the Royals players. Let's go. What do you want to say?
Well, I thought when Brad Holland came into the game, I thought we were in deep, deep trouble.
Brad Holland sucks.
Yeah. If he comes into the game, we're in
big trouble.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, well.
That's Greg's brother, right?
Right.
I'm making all. Whatever. When Holland came into the game, you know, it was like scary. And it happened. The Royals 3-0 lead, you know. Miner was on fire. Weren't you impressed yesterday?
For 5 innings.
Yeah.
Until he got frustrated with himself and kind of lost it.
You know.
Yeah.
Would you have left him in there to get out of his own jam, or did you agree with taking him out at that point, Mike?
I'd have probably taken him out.
He
looked like mentally he hit a wall there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was over. All right.
Yeah, I think they did the right thing.
All right. Well, Gary? Anyway,
you just hope your bullpen picks him up.
Didn't happen.
You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
Or not.
The bullpen was playing out of this world at the start of the season. So they're just in a little slump. It's okay.
You're going to get hammered for Cinco de Mayo?
It is Cinco de Mayo. Right. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody!
Hey, for once, I have a dad joke.
Oh, boy.
I got to hear it. Go ahead, Jake.
Gary goes,
I'm very anti-dad joke, right? But I heard one yesterday, and I like it.
Well, because you're not a dad, as far as you know.
I'm not.
As far as you know.
That's why I'm not on Facebook.
Right. That's exactly right.
What do you call a bear with no teeth?
A gummy bear.
Andy Dalton.
A gummy bear. Oh, that's...
That was great.
He didn't even have to... He nailed
Boddicker,
that.
Boddicker got that
was a pretty easy one, but I think my daughter will love that one.
Wow.
So, did you like it, Gary?
Yeah, I like totally it, but it's just like what I've done in the past. We've already done that one, but it's okay.
We have?
Thank you, You've done that one?
Not on this show you haven't.
No, that's not
Yeah, we have.
No,
yep.
You haven't.
No, you might have been at a bar someplace.
Right. What do you call it?
With the candles. With the
a dinosaur
slip-on
with
candle.
Great vocabulary.
A dinosaur with a great vocabulary? What is it?
A thesaurus.
That's good. That's good.
That's good. That's
as
good.
As an English major,
yeah,
I appreciate that one. I could have used that with my professor that was kept flunking me in Shakespeare class.
I thought you were starting a dad joke. I thought Steve was like, as an English major, right. Here comes a dad joke. That's what I thought was coming.
No, just somebody. It's my degree.
What's the weather going to be, Gary? I got to get home. Yeah. Let's go.
You know, I came into this segment.
Can you do that every day, by the way, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay, how about that weather?
Really, you're planning on doing the weather, and you started ripping on Brad Holland.
Brad Holland.
And
Alex Smith, too. Alex Smith.
There's some guy right now out there named Brad Holland. Like, what the hell did I do?
I didn't blow your lead.
I'm an accountant, for God's sake.
Those runs went to minor.
Lezak hates me. How about the weather, though?
Golly, I immediately lose credibility. That is just not good.
Okay, do I have to go back to my farmer's almanac?
Yes. Yeah, go back.
The
EOI today will be about a 7.
That's not bad.
Actually, do you know what? We're going to upgrade to a 10.
Whoa!
Sounds like you're making things up as you go along.
and when I'm on the news at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., it might be 69 degrees.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ew.
That's right.
It is Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
I know. Yeah.
One tequila, two tequila, three tequila, floor.
When you watch 41,
it's a moist one.
It'll be 69 degrees.
It's a moist one.
Since it's Cinco de Mayo, will you do a shot of tequila during the forecast on the news?
I'm not allowed to, but yeah.
Allowed. Who allows anyone to do anything?
That's right.
I know. I want it to be my last day.
They suggest that you not do it. I've read your contract.
You're just strong
suggestion. Yeah. He's read through the whole thing.
I read through that whole thing, and there's no.
So the EOI for dinner at 5 and 6 may be at 10, 69 degrees. All right? So we're going to upgrade. That's right. There's a party going on right here.
Seems like
a
perfect time to have tacos.
Cool in the gang. Did you know that? Did you know that, Boddicker? This is Cool in the Gang.
He seems like maybe you might have gotten into the tequila a little early this morning. You're just throwing out random phrases.
I am. Oh, my. Boddicker, listen to this. The temperatures in Altus, Oklahoma will be 95 degrees Saturday. And in northern Missouri near the Iowa border, it will be 45 degrees.
Oh.
45 to 95. Kansas City is going to be in that zone.
For bad, Saturday severe morning. Weather, Gary.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. You know, my friends at KSHB have got, you know, I have to pay for it, but I've got a ticket to the game Saturday night, and they want me to go. I don't know why they want me to go with them, but they do.
I'm super confident in saying that you did not pay for that ticket.
Well, I'm paying for it. He bought it for me.
Yeah. I don't think he'll ever see that money
for that ticket.
You don't pay for tickets to anything in this town, Gary. No. Now, come on.
You are the king, so no, you do not pay.
You just say you want to go, and they roll out the
king
red carpet.
That's right. My clock.
What did you just say?
My clock.
Oh.
Smart ass.
I've got conversation there. We just don't want it to rain. We don't need our first tornado watch in years.
Two years, Gary. It's been 2 years. 2 years.
May 28th will be 2 years. Yeah. Anyway, that's how it's fascinating. The fascinating setup in forecasting the weather in Kansas City, this is the most difficult place to predict the weather in the entire United States, if not the world. Yeah, right here, Kansas City.
The world?
Thank you. Yeah, wow. You guys put me here for that reason. Thanks.
Anyway, he's ranting and raving today.
I know, random rat.
Who's on next?
Matt Derek was going to be on, but I think he's going to reschedule to next Tuesday. So.
This ain't his first rodeo.
Yeah.
I haven't even done that. Well, I did the forecast. 69.
Oh, my God.
There's your dad joke.
He's been dabbling into the spirits.
Start the weather dad joke, Stephen. There was a weatherman who tried to do the weather.
Right. That's right. Well, there was a weatherman that had an edible before this forecast. Apparently, it's kicking in now.
It gives a whole meaning to right. to the expected high for today.
Everything's so green.
I've never had an edible. That is a fact.
That's a lie.
All right. Right now, it is 43. It was there was some reports of frost this morning. This is ridiculous. We need summer to get here. I'm ready for it. All right, 69. Have a great day. Thank you, Boddicker, for making my day.
Always, Gary. You know that.
Tell Brad Holland that I'm sorry.
Brad, if you're
if I run
there,
across him, I'm going to tell him.
Greg.
No offense, Brad. So.
Greg.
Bill, Jeff, whatever you want to call him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, whatever. All right. Have a good morning.
Jeremy.
There's a Jeremy Holland out there.
There is. Played on my soccer team at St. Thomas Aquinas.
That's right. I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you to Greg Lezak for the forecast. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Dad. That's the best dad joke of the day.
That's right.
All right. Have a good day, everyone. Here's Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary.
Greg Hamilton.
Baseball's back. Hit a home run with a new high-efficiency AC unit for $53 a month. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913 or BobHamilton.com.
Did he not sound lit? I mean,
completely.
Yeah, there's something
that
going
was happy
on there.
Hour, Gary. He was having the time of his life. We'll talk to Matt Derrick after this on WHB.